Welcome to the Embryo Adoption Podcast. I'm your host, Mark Mellinger. On this show, we explore the possibilities embryo adoption offers to families often struggling with infertility, though not always. Through insightful interviews and moving stories, we uncover the blessings of this unique path to parenthood. This podcast is brought to you by the National Embryo Donation Center, giving hope to those longing to grow their families. Now, let's get started. Adoption is already part of the family story, so why not embryo adoption? Isaac and Olivia Hall, an NEDC family, with me today to talk about this. And adoption's part of your family story, Olivia. So tell me about that and how it ended up giving you a heart for embryo adoption.
Well, adoption has always played a role in my life. My dad is adopted. He was adopted as an infant. He was, I believe, 6 weeks old when my grandparents adopted him. He had spent the first 6 weeks of his life in an orphanage. And my grandparents could not have biological children. And he was their first. And they adore him and he adores them. And always has. And then he has a younger brother that was adopted as well. And they're just a very sweet family to watch. And we always tease my dad that he acts just like my granddad, Bob. So you really can't tell even, you know, that he's adopted. He has taken on so many of his traits. But it, my dad has never had a desire to find his biological family. And that's always been interesting to me, growing up, learning more about, you know, a lot of people that are adopted, they want to know their biological family background, which is completely fine. That just was not my dad's story. It was somewhat my uncle's. He did want to know some of his biological family, but It was always so wonderful to me that my dad loved his parents so much and said, you know, I don't need anything else. They're my family. So when we got married, we had already talked about wanting a big family and really were thinking about adoption from the very beginning. And then infertility came into the picture. And I have always been fascinated with pregnancy and childbirth and really wanted to be able to experience pregnancy and childbirth for myself. And so when we found out about embryo adoption, it was kind of like a light bulb came on. This could be for us. So
how did you find out about it?
Well, that's me. I have always been interested in fertility stories, you know, people's journeys with IVF or IUIs, just different things. I like to look into that kind of stuff. And I stumbled across a video of it was like a family vlogger. I don't even remember what year it was. It was probably like 2015 or something. Like we'd only been dating. I don't think we were married when I found out about it, just embryo adoption, that it was possible. And so I was like, oh, that's cool, but you know, probably not for me, and just kind of went on. Well, then after we got married, Isaac started preaching at a small congregation in a small town here in Kentucky. And the man that was the preacher there before had a granddaughter and her son, the Darbys, and they are an NEDC family. And we kind of knew them through the grandfather, their family. And when they started posting things on Facebook, updates about their journey with the NEDC, we came across that and we were like, oh, well, that could be a potential option for us. That's when we really started talking about going forward on that path.
So Isaac, this guy, the I'm if I have this right, the Darby's
grandfather, was it Nicholas Darby's grandfather, Andrea? Or no,
Andrea.
excuse me, was it Andrea's grandfather? That's what I meant. Okay, so it says, gotcha. So this guy was like a mentor for you as you began your pa you're a pastor, obviously, as you began your pastoral career.
Right. Yeah, so he was ready to retire when I was ready to start, and so they didn't leave. They stayed right there with the congregation until their health started to get worse, and they ended up moving closer to family. But he was there for the first few years that I was there.
What did I'm interested in this from your perspective. I mean, the whole running into infertility, and then the idea of, well, maybe embryo adoption would be an option for us. Clearly, your wife was on board and all about it on these things. You seem, and this is very common, by the way, if this is the case, you seem like you might have been a little bit more reticent about it. No, yes, what?
Not necessarily. I was on board with the bigger family idea from the beginning, and I was on board with having children. I didn't have the level of interest, of course, that she did in everything pregnancy related and children related. But whenever that came up as an option, that didn't really faze me. I do have a few of my cousins are adopted, and that's something that's always been around too. And so it was never, for me, it was never really a concern of, okay, are we going to have children biologically, or are we going to have children through some other means? And so when this means became available, it was, okay, well, if that works out for you because you want to experience pregnancy, and we're getting children through the process as well, then that makes sense. So.
And you do have a couple of children. We'll talk about them as the podcast continues. By the way, if you're listening to this and it's helpful to you, spread the word, share the podcast, rate, review, subscribe, give us a good 5-star review. That'll help the algorithm help more people find us. We've been amazed the years we've been doing the Embryo Adoption Podcast. What a great resource it has been, and how many people have found out about both embryo adoption and the NEDC through it. So we hope and pray that God continues to use it toward that end. What was Olivia, talking to you, you always seem so happy. And like I said, you had this stuff on your radar to begin with, but what was the hardest part of your infertility journey, or maybe just your road to embryo adoption period?
I would say for me, and we have both talked about this and agreed that I have never felt this huge pull to have biological children. That has not really been something that has ever concerned me very much. I just knew that I wanted to have babies in my family that I could love and take care of. So it wasn't so much just the infertility side of it. For me, honestly, it was the, I guess, I don't know how to say it, like jealousy or just the hard time watching other people having children so easily. And it wasn't that I wasn't happy for them. It was just that it hurt that it wasn't happening for me. And I know that was really hard for Isaac, trying to help me through that. Because he is much more patient than I have ever been. And he was always there saying, you know, it's going to happen. It just hasn't happened yet. However, we're supposed to have children will happen. And so I was just really ready to have kids when we got married, and it just was not happening. And so it was 3 years in, I guess, before we, started really actively looking into what's wrong, what's taking so long, and then about 4 years in before we were at the NEDC for the first time.
And
So just
Isaac,
it was the
did you
hardest.
really feel that way? Did you really have every confidence that, hey, it'll work out, it'll be all right?
Maybe that's Maybe that's more out of the being naive than it is confidence. But yeah, it was just, it'll happen. It may take some time, but it'll happen somewhat.
And it is great because there, no question, just because children don't share your genetics, it doesn't make them any less yours. And that's one of the great things about not just embryo adoption, but adoption of any kind. And we've brought this up over and over again in NEDC story sharing materials, that adoption is a microcosm of the gospel. We're all engrafted, and we all would be destined for eternity away from God if it wasn't for His grace adopting us. So this is what adoption is, no matter how you do it, which is what makes it so beautiful. So it's not a plan B. It's not a like a less good option. It's a beautiful option that just echoes the story of redemption and restoration that God is always telling in a 50 million ways every day. So yeah, it's beautiful. And I'm glad you made that point. So unpack your journey with the NEDC then. What, at least so far, what aspects of the process stand out to you?
Just the kindness of everybody there was one of the first things we noticed. Just from the very initial appointment, finding out all of the information and figuring out how to get on the schedule for a transfer, everyone was so loving and so kind and welcoming, and has been, continuously through all of our contact with everybody there. That has stood out to me the most, I would say.
Isaac, anything you want to add to that?
From my side, it's more analytical. And so for me, it's maybe a focus on the way that it's all organized and laid out just from start to finish, and transparent as well. So you get to see, this is what you're going to be paying up front. This is what the dates will look like, the processes, the medicines, the protocols, everything. So it's well organized in that way.
Is there anything that either of you, and if not, that's okay, wishes you'd known about embryo adoption going into the process that you'd want to pass along now to somebody who's either just starting or thinking about it?
I wouldn't say it's a regret, but one thing that I wish we had thought more about was whether or not we wanted an open or closed adoption. We did go the closed adoption route, and we are so blessed with our beautiful babies that we have through that. But I do find myself, especially as they grow, thinking, I wish maybe we did have more contact with their biological family, just so that they could see these beautiful gifts that they've given us, kind of thing. But I know that that decision is very hard on a family to decide to donate their embryos for adoption. So I do understand both sides of it. But just making sure that somebody really looks into that and prays about it and make sure that they know which way they want to go with that would be something I would recommend, I guess.
So tell me about your still very young kids, Elias and Ruby.
Yes.
Elias is all energy all the time.
He's what, like three-ish?
Three.
Three? Okay.
He's three, and he's active all day and sometimes all night. But he's a lot of fun,
Yes.
and he's hilarious.
That's a very good sense of humor. Yeah, he just turned 3 in February, and then Ruby just turned 1 in February. So they were born 13 days apart after his second birthday. And so Ruby is just sunshine. She's so happy, and she tries to keep up with him as best she can. And I think we're going to be in trouble in a few years when they're both all over the place, but we're so blessed.
What was it like actually delivering both of them and having these kids in your hands? I mean, you weren't sure that that would necessarily ever happen.
With Elias, He was born at 35 weeks. So we were terrified. We were first time parents. We were terrified anyway, but we didn't know exactly what his health would look like after he was born. He ended up being just perfect and didn't need to spend time in the NICU or anything. He was good. But that was very hard. We didn't get to hold him right away. We didn't get to, well, I guess you got to see him right away because he went with him for observation in the NICU. But I think that was a hard transition into parenthood. And so I pray for anybody whose baby has to be in the NICU because that's just very hard. But after we got home, we were just so thrilled to have this little perfect tiny human being. And then with Ruby, it was easier. She was full term and was on me right away. I think the very first thing I said when I saw her was, "She looks like Elias." So, and they do look a lot alike, but.
And they are genetic siblings.
They are, yes.
Right.
Isaac, what's it like being a dad?
It's more fun than I thought it would be in some ways. And it's harder than I thought it would be in ways that I didn't expect. I'm a pretty laid back person, but it takes a special different kind of patience whenever toddlerhood is in the picture. So there's a lot to be learned there as well.
Yeah. There's a lot of sanctification to come. Yeah. Yeah. And it'll just continue on into adulthood. Trust me, that's where I am now with my own children who are now full adults. So let me ask, you know, we brought up that you're a pastor, Isaac. Is embryo adoption a topic you ever like have brought to the pulpit? Have you ever talked about your story or where this fits in? I mean, it's okay if not, but I'm just interested.
Mm-hmm. Of course, if you're preaching long enough, you'll run into every topic under the sun. And so sometimes it'll come in when it is, like we already mentioned, about the adoption of God and us being adopted into that family. And so that's more of a concrete example that you can use to say, here's the parallel that I have in my own life, knowing what adoption means. But then also sometimes it's on the more literal basis where you're talking about something like abortion, or you're talking about when life begins, and you get to say, hey, I have an example of when life begins and a real solid way for you to see that life begins here. And I've got two people that you can look at and say, yeah, their life already began, and now we get to see it come into the full picture.
And we're recording this just a few weeks, I guess, 2-3.5 weeks after the Alabama Supreme Court decision on frozen embryos was all over the news. And I was surprised, all of us at the NEDC were, at the carry that story had. It was something that a lot of people were talking about. So I'm wondering, and I'd ask both of you this, being embryo adoption parents, has that story percolating in the news had more people asking you questions about embryos and embryo adoption?
It has. It's been kind of interesting.
Tell me about it.
Well, I find that a lot of people, of course, they come to us because they know that we have that background, but they also come to us not really having an opinion fully formed yet. And they kind of say, well, you have, you know, more expertise or something, more experience in that area. So what are you all thinking on it?
And it gives you a chance to say what you believe.
Yeah, it's almost like they're looking to us to kind of, I don't know, guide them in how they should feel about it. It's been interesting because we obviously don't have all the answers, but we can give our thoughts on it. But we've had several people at church, outside of church, just mm-hmm. asking us questions about it. So it's definitely opened doors to be able to talk about our children and how, you know, we view life, especially with people that are outside of the church. And outside of, you know, Christian faith. So it's been interesting.
And how are those conversations going? You mentioned that people, that's an interesting point that you made. A lot of people are going into these conversations not having fully formed opinions. And that tells me that folks have not really, it's different if you haven't been a part of embryo adoption in any way. A lot of people haven't had cause to think about this deeply before. They haven't had a chance to think about, is a frozen embryo a life? Is IVF the way that it is commonly practiced in America something that is a good thing? Is a neutral thing? It needs to be defended to the hilt, or maybe there would be some good room for change. I think I've noticed that too, that a lot of people have not had fully formed opinions, and a lot of the initial reaction has been instinct. But after that, I think people, my hope and prayer is that people will stop and start to sort through this in a more nuanced and careful way. I don't know, what have your conversations been like? Are you guys getting any feel for whether that's going on?
I think unless you have been part of the, infertility community, unless you have experienced that and gone through any kind of treatment yourself, you don't typically have cause to think about it. and when we, were given our separate diagnoses, saying like, it's going to be very difficult for you to have biological children, and then talking about options from there, we did not feel comfortable pursuing IVF on our own because there are so many things that go into that and then decisions that have to be made from there. So we're very thankful that we had the option of the NADC and found that. But people that are not confronted with those conversations with their spouse or, in their life, this is just all over the news and they're just kind of trying to figure out what in the world does this mean? So most people have been very receptive to us talking about our standpoint on it and, our views, especially with our children, about how we do feel like it's something that needs to be taken a look at, the IVF practices and making sure that we're treating these lives as lives.
Right. So. I think it's a good point and a good question to camp out on. It was interesting to see so many people just instinctively rushing and basically saying IVF, as it's commonly practiced in this country, needs to be defended. And I think a lot of life affirming people, a lot of Christian believers were in that camp. But I think there was a lot of emotional response quickly without taking a step back to think, because this is what I would hope that that the church and even the infertility community would think about and talk about is IVF, the way it's commonly practiced, not always, but the way it's commonly practiced in this country, yes, great blessing, has brought about a lot of life, and we treasure every one of those lives and are happy for those families who've had the chance to add to their families or have children for the first time through IVF. But the way it's commonly practiced, it relies on an awful lot of death. And that is and treating human embryos with a lack of sanctity and dignity. And I don't say that angrily. I just make the point to bring out that it's a sad fact that that's the way it's practiced. So my hope and prayer is that we'll at least take a step back and think, could there be more guardrails on the industry? Could we advocate in a gentle, ironic way for IVF to be practiced in a more humane way when it comes to protecting the sanctity and dignity of embryos? I don't know, Isaac, you get any feel for whether people are thinking that route, or is that a conversation that still has to be had?
I think the conversation will take time. I think people initially are unfortunately slow to listen and quick to speak, but for those who have any real concern about it, those who are Christians, for example, it'll come back around and they'll have a chance to mold over a little bit and hopefully come in contact with people that have been part of that process and can maybe give a little bit more insight to say, yes, IVF can be good, but here are the downsides. Here's what we need to think about. And hopefully we can be a very small part of that conversation.
Well, you already are. I know that, and it was just a very timely time to talk to the two of you. We are so happy at what God has done in your family through the NEDC, and I probably shouldn't ask this if it's too personal. Just, slap me down. But you said you wanted a big family. I don't know if you consider four a big family. I mean, are you thinking about coming back for more?
Well, we are actually kind of in the process of talking to Krista there at the NEDC. We kind of got in contact with another family through mutual friends on Facebook, and they are wanting to donate their eight embryos to us to continue trying to grow our family that way. So we are planning to be back in a few months for another medical clearance and hoping towards the end of this year to have another transfer. I told him when we on our first date that I wanted six kids and he did not run for the hills. So, we're still here.
Yeah, he handles it all in stride. If you're not watching the video version, he's wearing an Oscar the Grouch shirt for this podcast interview, and while she's wearing a happy Disney shirt.
Yeah, happy pink Disney.
It's a great contrast. I hope you guys are wearing that when you come back. But we'll look forward to seeing you. And eight embryos, that's a lot. So keep those patient pants on. Isaac and Olivia, thanks so much.
Thank
Thank you.
you.
Thank you so much for listening to the Embryo Adoption Podcast. I hope you enjoyed learning more about this life-changing option for building a family. Hey, if you or someone you know could benefit from embryo adoption or donation, visit embryodonation.org to get started or just to find out more. Again, that's embryodonation.org. And don't forget to spread the word, rate, and review us on your favorite podcast app. Join me next time as we continue sharing inspirational stories of the embryo adoption journey. And until then, take care.